We have been working on the theme of angels for the last couple of weeks since the opening of Advent, and we will continue doing so, at least for next week. But what we are exhorted by Scripture is that we are never to worship angels. That's one adamant message that comes to us through Scripture. We are, however, encouraged. We are encouraged to do as the angels do. And what do the angels do? They always, always point to God in adoration, in love, and in joy. It's important for us to have an awareness of angels. These are created by God. And to know where a lot of these numerous passages fall, we need to know what is the purpose and the presence of the angels. Now, as I was studying and researching this, I found one website, and it said it was going to list all of the passages in Scripture on angels, and I thought, cool. And I was expecting maybe two or three pages, so I put it on print, not even checking to see the number of pages. Went and got coffee, and came back about 3 minutes later, and it's still grinding away. My printer at home is still going, and I'm thinking, how many pages did I print? And then how many advertisements and pictures do you pull off with it? Yeah, no advertisements, no pictures. 37 pages later, it finally stops. This is single-spaced. All of the scriptures, Old and New Testament, that show and give validity to the presence of the angels. How amazing is that? So I thought, well, where does it start? It starts in Genesis. Where does it end? Revelations. Angels are found in more than half of the books of the Bible, both Old and New Testament. Isn't that a beautiful thing to know? Now, you are not recipients of all the 37 pages of information I found that day. And you may not hear your favorite passages today either concerning angels, because I'm being very specific. This morning I'm talking about protective angels. And as you know, Paul last Sunday focused on the four types of angels that exist with the theme of hope. And so this Sunday I'm speaking of the protective angels that we call and consider guardian angels, who provide peace and provide protection. Now, how many angels are there? Okay, that's always a question that's asked. As we look at scriptures, we see it as thousands upon thousands upon thousands. Revelations 5, verses 11 through 12. It states, through Apostle John, he says, "Then I looked and I heard the voice of many angels, numbering thousands upon thousands and 10,000s upon 10,000. They encircled the throne and the living creatures and the elders. And in a voice they were saying, 'Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise.'" And you can just hear that almost hammered out with all those ands. That is so intentional. Hebrews 12:22 also supports that. It says, "But if you have come to Mount Zion, the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, you have come to thousands and thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly." Now, what does an angel look like? That's always another question. And as, again, we did our research, as we looked at all the scriptures, the 37 pages worth, we see that they have, some have wings, some are without wings, some come in human form, some come in non-human form as an animal, or they also come in a shadowy form. In the book of Job, chapter 4, verses 15 through 18, Job tells us that a spirit glided past his face, and the hair on his body stood on end. It stopped. But Job could not tell what it was. A form stood before his eyes, and he simply heard a hushed voice. If we look at the protective powers of angels, just as we read with Psalm 91, verse 11, that declares, "For he, God, will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." In the Old Testament, we see this clearly, this protective care of the angels. And I told you that it all starts in Genesis, right? So I'm just going to select just a few chapters from Genesis, and you're going to see it happening to multiple people, different people, chapter after chapter after chapter. I'm going to start with chapter 17. In chapter 17, you will recall how God sent angels, plural, to Hagar in the desert. Now, we all know what happened between Sarah and Hagar. How Hagar, who was the Egyptian slave girl, was given to Abraham from Sarah as a wife, and then later became very jealous, kicked her out, sent her to the desert to die with her son. And the angels meet with Hagar in the desert and with her son. And she tells her to return to Sarah and Abraham and not to be afraid, promising her protection. You go to the next chapter, chapter 18, and you see that Abraham is promised a son from visiting angels that appeared as men. And what did these angels do? What was their purpose? It was to ensure Abraham that even at their advanced age, that this baby would be born and would be safe. You go to the next chapter, chapter 19, and you see the angels, plural again, visit a home at Sodom and Gomorrah. And who would that be? Lot, to protect Lot and his family from imminent destruction. You recall that scene. And later in Genesis, in chapter 32, we see angels again meeting with Jacob. And it states, "Jacob went on his way, and the angels of God met him. And when Jacob saw them, he said, 'This is God's camp.' So he called that place Mahananam." Now, I could go on and on and on, but I'm thinking four chapters is probably enough, right? I mean, we see angels in plural, different forms coming to protect, to guide, to assist. Now, the Bible doesn't specifically use the term guardian angels, but it does state in Hebrews 1:14 in the New Testament, it states, "Are not all angels ministering spirits sent to serve those who will inherit salvation?" So even in the book of Hebrews, we see the angels being referred to as ministering spirits. In Matthew 18, verses 10, Jesus says, "See that you do not look down on one of these little ones. Do not harm a child. Do not think a child is less. For I tell you that their angels in heaven always see the face of my Father in heaven." In Luke 4:10, it states, "For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you." Don't you love that? It speaks directly to you. he will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully. And furthermore, we see in Psalm 34, verse 8, the angel of the Lord encamps around those who honor him. The angels encamp, and he delivers them. So sometimes the angels assist us in today's world, keeping us from harm. Two Sundays ago, we were so privileged to hear from Casey Drudge, who gave us his testimony of the protection that he received from angels. And there are many others. So today we're going to listen, and you can find these online, you can find these in books, testimonies of people who say, I know without a shadow of a doubt that it was an angel who saved me.
Touched by a guardian angel. That's James Tremaine. He's from Houston, Texas. I'm going to read his testimony to you. I was driving a Camaro Z28. I would love to drive a Camaro Z28. One night when I slid into a ditch. The car settled awkwardly with the front tire off the ground and the middle of the vehicle bottomed out on the road. Several times I attempted to back out, but I couldn't. I was stuck. Out of nowhere, a man appeared. He was shabbily dressed. He was about 6 feet tall and slightly built, in his early 30s with light brown hair and a beard. He instructed me to get in the car as he went down into the ditch, placing his hands on the hood. He then told me to back the car out. Well, I started to tell him I'd already tried that, but he commanded me back into that car and to back that car out. I threw it in reverse and I hit the gas. As easily as could be, the car was back on the road. Now, no man could have lifted the front of that car and pushed it out. But this guy, he did it effortlessly. I left the car in idle and I got out of the car to offer him money and a ride. And he turned both down. He asked me to praise God. I re-entered into my car to look for means to pay him, but he wasn't there just a few seconds later. He literally vanished from my sight. Now, maybe he was just a bum who happened to have superhuman strength and who didn't need money, but I believe that he was an angel.
Testimony I am reading from comes from Troika Celeste Germain from Mount Shasta, California. It was Christmas Eve. I was driving to a friend's house during the hectic Los Angeles rush hour. The night was pitch black. Three lanes of traffic were congested on the La Cienega Boulevard. My tiny white sports car, why do we get good cars? This is pretty fun. Was the last in a very long line of vehicles. I was in the far left lane, wedged next to a 2-foot-high cement island. I casually looked in my rearview window and saw three cars speeding behind me, all three exceeding a safe speed for stopping. As expected, they slammed on their brakes and started sliding and swerving all over the road. I knew in a heartbeat that I would be hit. I braced for the impact. Unexpectedly, I felt a very gentle tap at the back of my car, followed by a slight lifting sensation, but did not see a car hit me. I was surprised to find my car sitting on top of the cement island, exactly parallel to the car that I was originally positioned beside. It was as if my car had been lifted and moved 3 to 4 feet to the left. Although thankfully no one was hurt, much damage was done to the other cars around me, but my vehicle sustained no damage. Concerned people rushed to me asking how badly I was injured. With my statement, they looked at me in disbelief. "What do you mean?" they asked. "What do you mean that nothing happened? We saw your car fly through the air. You got hit harder than anyone else here." I was thankful that there were witnesses to this miracle. Once I heard of my experience through their eyes, I realized that someone, some angel, had protected me by lifting my car out of harm's way.
I am Dwayne Brannon from Independence, Missouri. I'm reading a sweet account of how an angel saved me through a younger sister. When I was just 8 years old, I fell ill. I complained for a couple of hours about a headache, intensified by a fever and cough. Mom planned to take me to the doctor's the next morning. However, that night, my sister, who was only 3, came into my room and tried to wake me to full consciousness. She couldn't do so, so she rushed to alert my parents. They found me pale, limp, sweating, and gasping for air. My lips were blue. The ambulance rushed me to the hospital where I was treated with antibiotics. However, a scar still exists where they had to insert a tracheotomy to allow me to breathe. The doctors told my mother that I was lucky to be alive. The doctor also commented that it was smart that they checked on me during the night. Then it hit everyone. When they questioned my sister about it, she said she was awakened by her angel. "My angel," she said, "told me you were sick and you needed me." She went on to describe how the angel was lit with a soft glow and guided her down the dark hallway to my bedroom. My sister, to this day, still remembers the angel's face and the night that she and the angel saved my life.
Thank you. And maybe after these readings, after the Sunday, we may hear from others of you who have testimonies to share as well. Now, these testimonies I found in a specific book that was compiled them. Her name is Lynn Valentine, and the name of the book is Angels Everywhere. Now, this book in itself was a little mini miracle. It was published in 2007, and it was given to my parents from my brother John and his wife Bee, whom you know. The thing is it shouldn't have been in my possession. When Mom and Dad passed away, anyone whose name was in a book, etc., returned to that sibling. And somehow, this book found its way in my possession and was on the shelf as I was looking for references on angels. So it couldn't have been more perfectly timed. And what it presented, just finding the book, just gave me a sense of peace and a sense of confidence that regardless that my parents are not here with me today, that they are in spirit and that our guardian angels are looking over us. And many of you I know have that same sensation. Maybe this Sunday, maybe this Christmas, you're not with your loved one. But we know that we can find peace and we can find protective care from the angels that do surround us. So let us during this season be reminded of the angel that announced Christ's birth to the shepherds, as we saw with the puppets, These shepherds who were living out in the fields near Bethlehem, where nobody else probably knew where they were, an angel told these shepherds, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy." This is such a tender and such a merciful directive. And it's good for us to hear those words when we find ourselves in unexpected circumstances. God knows how prone to fear we are, doesn't he? And he does not condemn us for it. He doesn't say, "Look, you shouldn't be afraid." He says, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy." Peace and joy are the antidotes of fear. And the angel's proclamation to the shepherds was one, as we stated, of how, what kind of joy? Mediocre joy? No, it was of great joy that brought peace to their hearts. So let us not lose sight of what amazing good news still exists for us today. Let us take time this season, today, to ponder the angel's glorious proclamation to the shepherds and how the angels work as protective angels on our behalf.